Scene 3. It takes place in the stockhold. There are a number of furnaces and boilers. There is only one overhead bulb giving a dim light. There is a line of stockers who are stripped to the waist. They are sitting before the furnace doors. They bend over handling their shovels as if the shovels were part of their bodies. There is a strange rhythm in their action. They use the shovels to throw open the furnace doors. The men shovel in a rhythmic motion. They hurl coal into the flaming mouths of furnaces. The doors make a noise when they opened or shut. When the curtain rises, the furnace doors were shut. The men are taking a breath spell. One or two are arranging the coal behind them. The others are relaxing by leaning on their shovels. Paddy claims that he can't work further more for his back is broken. According to Young, stockers ought to have a positive outlook towards their work. Then the labor done does not tire the person. Paddy is tired of hard work, for he does not belong to the ship, otherwise he should have a sense of affection to it. Young inspires his fellow stalkers to take the ship for their baby. Now the work will look amusing, like a game. Young says the baby, that is the ship, is hungry. Give some food to it, but it is fed with coal. Therefore, fill its stomach with coal. All of them should work together. When its stomach is full, it will run with a speed. Young asks stalkers to enjoy themselves, seeing it moving and smoking in a speed. It gives a new name to the ship. The name is Speed. By developing a positive sense to the hard work, Young turns it into an amusing game. Young, come on, you guys, get into the game. She is getting hungry. Pile some grub in her. Throw it into her belly. Come on now, all of you. Young has firm belief that stalkers belong to the ship, that is like their baby. They feed it and make run at a high speed. Young, that's the stuff. Let her have it. All together now. Sling it into her. Let her ride. Shoot the piece now. Call the toy on her. Drive her into it. Feel her move. Watch her smoke. Speed, that's her middle name. Give her coal, you guys. Coal, that's her booze. Drink it up, baby. Let us see you sprint. Dig in and gain a lap. There she goes. Paddy stresses his complaint that his back is broken. Just then, the whistle sounds and all the workers grow angry. Yank asks them to take it easy. They are the runners of the ship. The authorities of the ship are covered. Stalkers should concentrate on feeding the furnace. He ain't got no nerve. He's yellow, get me? All the engineers is yellow. They got streaks a mile wide. Ow, to tell with him. Let's move, use guys. We had a rest. Come on, she needs it. Give her pep. It ain't for him. Give and his whistle. Him and his whistle, they don't belong. But we belong, see. We gotta feed the baby. Come on. Seeing it, Yank opens the furnace door. They all follow his lead. At this instant, the second and fourth engineers enter from the darkness on the left with Mildred between them. She turns paler. Her pose is crumbling. She shivers with fright in spite of the blazing heat, but forces herself to leave the engineers and take a few steps nearer the men. She is right behind Yank. All this happens quickly when the men have their backs turned. Yank inspires the stalkers to work well. He is turning to get coal when the whistle sounds again in a peremptory, irritating note. This drives Yank into a sudden fury. While the other men have turned full around and stopped dumbfounded by the spectacle of Mildred standing there in her white dress, Yank does not turn far enough to see her. Besides, his head is thrown back. He blinks upward through the murk, trying to find the owner of the whistle. He brandishes his shovel murderously over his head in one hand, pounding on his chest gorilla-like with the other, shouting. Yank is devoted to his duty. The engineer comes with Mildred and by whistling informs his arrival. Yank thinks by whistling the engineer is asking him to work. He grows angry. Yank, come down and I will murder you. Pulling that whistle on me, I will show you. I will crash her skull in. I'll drive her teeth down her throat. I'll slam her nose through the back of her head. I will cut her guts out of a nickel, her loosely woove, her dirty, crummy, muck-eating son of a... Yank feels greatly insulted that an engineer is whistling to ask him to work sincerely as if he were not doing his duty. His sense of superiority too is offended in this way. He grows violent and asks the engineer to come down. Yank has been working so sincerely that he does not mark that the engineers with Miss Mildred are standing behind him. He threatens to murder the engineer. The engineer's whistling has enraged him. He is furious enough to threaten the engineer with violent actions. Suddenly, he becomes conscious of all the other men staring at something directly behind his back. He wills defensively with a snarling murderous growl, crouching to spring, his lips drawn back over his teeth, his small eyes gleaming furiously. He sees Mildred like a white apparition in the full light from the open furnace doors. He glares into her eyes turned to stone. As for her, during his speech, she has listened, paralyzed with horror, terror, her whole personality crushed, beaten in, collapsed by the terrific impact of this unknown, abysmal brutality, naked and shameless. As she looks at his gorilla face, as his eyes bore into hers, she utters a low, choking cry and shrinks away from him, putting both hands up before her eyes to shut out the sight of his face to protect her own. This startles Yank to a reaction. His mouth falls open, his eyes grow bewildered. Mildred, about to faint, to the engineers who now have her one by each arm, whimperingly. Take me away. Oh, the filthy beast. She faints. They carry her quickly back, disappearing in the darkness at the left rear. An iron door clangs shut. Rake and bewildered fury rush back on the young. He feels himself insulted in some unknown fashion in the very heart of his pride. He roars, "Good damn you!" and hurls his shovel after them at the door which has just closed. It hits the steel bulkhead with a clang and falls clattering on the steel floor. From overhead, the whistle sounds again in a long, angry, insistent command. Scene 3 is over.